people complain about the condition of our roads often. And I used to have this little joke. I'd drive around the city. I was like, I wonder who's the city manager, because the potholes are big. But now that's my challenge. But I do believe that it's back to the listening. Mm-hmm. It's back to understanding the priorities of our city council, understanding the priorities of our residents, putting that together, and then not sacrificing on how we deliver those core services.
Hey, y'all. This is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Why, yes, Kimberly Tolbert, it is you. You are the woman now. It is all on your shoulders, all those potholes and everything else.
Indeed so. But we have the woman with us today, Dia Wall from WFAA, who had this very cool interview. It's a rare interview. I've been trying to interview her for a while. People can't get interviews with the city manager. You've been here for, a hot minute, and you're already sitting down with them.
Well, let me just back the train up, fellas. It took me a long time. I mean, I've been trying to get this interview for months and months. Jason knows.
Yeah.
Yes. And after being in her office, you see why. I mean, it is like buzzing.
Really?
There are people 24/7, 365, coming and going, having requests. We need to prep for city council. We need to do this. We need to do that. Hmm. So it was really generous, man. We got about an hour, and so we got 45 minutes for our interview, and it was really great.
This is the Dallas city manager we're talking about here, Kimberly Tolbert. And she's a busy woman because there's a lot going on in Dallas. Dallas is, booming. There's a lot of businesses coming here. There's a lot of issues here. We've had some interesting propositions that have been on the ballot and passed here, which made things really odd. And we've got a sports team here that keeps needing stuff.
Yeah, we do. There was a lot, to your point. But beyond that, just also some of the challenges, right? Trying to get the budget done. She was interim for a few months,
sure,
which I think a lot of people felt like she was the front runner from the beginning. But still, even then, you had to hire a police chief. You had to hire a fire chief. Then she had to get all these propositions worked into the budget with the HERO amendments. So it has been really busy. And it's not often you get to really talk to the city manager about, why you want this job, what you hope to bring to the role, and what her vision is for the city of Dallas.
Can I just back our train up again, and just say we're at Four Corners Brewing once again?
I'm very excited.
Listen, Daryl, producer behind the scenes.
We should start this whole thing over again, man.
I love when we stop, start, and go backwards. Daryl, who is producing all of this, is having that hard tea again. Is that what you got? You look over at Daryl, it's like there's a one-man party going on over there behind the camera.
And he's behind the camera doing this, too.
And
I wasn't even looking at him.
And there was a dance. Yeah. There was a dance that went with it.
I'm telling you to let people know.
Shout out to Four Corners Brewing Company
and the
Cedars.
Wait,
this place is great.
Before we move on, I want it to be noted.
What?
I was the easiest order.
You were?
These gentlemen had to run down the full menu.
You were the quickest
one. Well, tell
us
what you're having here, too.
Just Prosecco, a little light wine, on the clock.
It's great, isn't it?
10 hours into your day here.
I know. She did the morning today.
What are you having, Wheeler?
I am having the Pop Punk Light.
Only because...
Because it sounded interesting.
You knew I was going to get a hold of you for the little fruity beer.
No,
you're
I had
the
to
hard
stick
tea over
I
there
was
going to
have
get.
The hard tea because Daryl cannot say enough about this hard tea.
Until you
all
find out it wasn't a beer.
symbols now. He can't even talk. He's
right.
Only had a fourth of it.
I'm having the Chupacabra. It's
Chupacabra,
a Pilsner.
That's a goodie. Yeah.
It is fantastic.
I think this is an ale that I'm having. I'm not sure what the story.
Pop-punk
he told
light.
Us the Pop Punk Light story, but
right.
I... only picked up pieces.
Light. And so.
But,
so now let's fast forward again to Kimberly Beiser Tolbert. For people who don't realize, the city of Dallas, unlike Houston, we have a weak mayor form of government. So the city manager is the chief executive of the city of Dallas. So the city manager is where it all stops. Yeah, the buck stops
there. That's who does the potholes. Who has to figure it all out?
And lead the city and answer the hard questions. And the last city manager, T.C. Broadnax, moved on to Austin. They last 4 or 5 years. But what's interesting about Kim Tolbert, she's been around for a minute. She's
33 years
at Dallas City Hall. Tell us about her story, and then we're going to play a clip from her. But tell us about this.
So what's so interesting is she's a Texas girl, grew up in East Texas in Tyler, and she said the whole reason she wanted to be a city manager, or go into city government was she was riding around with her grandfather. Says her grandparents owned a restaurant in Tyler. And she noticed differences, right, between the nice neighborhood she grew up in and the neighborhood where the restaurant was. The restaurant was in North Tyler. And like a lot of cities, right? I worked in Tyler for over 3 years, so you know.
You did?
Yeah, there's some areas where investment may look a little different. She said the parks look different. The roads look different.
Yeah.
She said, I asked my grandfather, why? And eventually he told her, are you going to be someone who complains about problems or someone who gets about solving them? And that's where her journey began. She went to the University of North Texas, went to City Hall as an intern 33 years ago. I begged the woman to give me a picture. She was like, the hair alone. You can't get the picture. But she said she always had a passion for city government. And when she came to City Hall as an intern, the first woman to be city manager in the city of Dallas was in office at the time, or the chief executive for the city at the time. And that really inspired her. And 33 years later, here she is.
And then she went and made history.
Correct. Yeah. She is the first black woman to be city manager in the city of Dallas. And so her family was there at chambers when the vote was official in January. And so she said it was a really, really powerful moment for her.
Let's play this clip here.
You know, I knew that it was something that I aspired to be one day. But for me, it was really a simple thing that happened during my time of growing up. And I'm from East Texas, grew up in Tyler, spent a lot of time with my grandparents throughout my my earlier years. And my grandparents were restaurant owners. They were like one of the few restaurant owners in the city who were African American. And so I would spend time with my grandfather driving around the city. He went to, you know, pick up things for the restaurant. I would be with him. And I asked a lot of questions because I talk a lot. And so I remember this day, and I remember it just like it happened. And so I'm with my grandfather. We're talking in the car, and I'm asking questions. I'm sitting in the back seat, and I'm pointing out things that are different in the side of town where the restaurant was than where we lived. And so as I'm asking these questions, and I'm talking about everything from, you know, street lights to sidewalks to the difference in the playgrounds on the side of the city that I grew up in. I grew up in North Tyler. My grandfather asked me this question, and it was very simple, but it was a question that I will never, ever forget. And he said, will you be someone who complains about the things that are wrong, or will you do something about it? And so for me, that became the starting point of my public service journey.
So, you know, her grandfather, Dia, could really ask Wheeler the same question. And he's somebody.
Oh, and I would have told Granddad immediately,
complains.
I'm just going to complain about it.
Wheeler would complain about it.
You will not talk about my co-anchor on this fine Yolitics podcast.
Thank you.
I am so happy to be. I'm going to defend and protect Wheeler at all costs.
Thank
you
very much. Absolutely complain about it. We all know that.
Don't you agree that I'm very underrated, though?
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Keep stroking him. You know, just keep stroking this guy.
That's because I know you don't need it, Whitley.
Wheeler loves the stroke. The long stroke.
Okay. Wait, pause?
This is not that kind of podcast, do you? So
now we do need to start over.
I don't know.
You guys go ahead and take a sip here. So we started this episode with the pothole issue. I'm a resident of the city of Dallas. This is my biggest complaint.
I mean, now who sounds like the complainer,
you know,
right?
That's not his only complaint either.
No, it's not.
I never said that. But
Whitley is an old man yelling at people to get off his lawn. Trust me.
No, come on now. I live inner city. But the city of Dallas does not take care of its streets. And I've been we've talked about it on this podcast
before. Pretty bad in
some places. The problem is, you know, when there's development around, a person building a building or building a house has to cut in to a street and tie in to the city services.
But do they have to put it back the way it was before they cut
with
in?
The same material?
And who comes out to examine
that's
that?
The problem. No one at City Hall does that. Hopefully she's going to change things. So this is the biggest complaint she gets, huh?
So yes, that was one of the more surprising things about the budget. When we were talking, we really went deep dive into the budget because it's new, and there were a lot of complexities to the budget for Dallas.
And this is a
next
big
year,
budget.
$5.2 billion.
Okay,
so when you talk about the city survey, Kimberly Beiser Tolbert said this budget is done from like a priority-based style. Hmm. She wants to prioritize and invest in the areas that residents of Dallas, like fine Mr. Whitley here, want to see. What people may be surprised by, you always assume that public safety is going to be number one.
Sure.
Everyone wants to live in a safe city.
Safe streets, right?
57% of respondents ranked streets and infrastructure as one of the top things that they wanted to see happen.
Wow.
44% for public safety.
Wow.
So 13% higher. People want these potholes fixed. And so, you'll see that reflected in the budget. So in our conversation, we found, looking at the budget afterward, there's an additional $25 million going just in the roads. So in the proposed budget, which council is going to talk about on September 17th, I know we're going to get into it a little bit more later. For all the nerds like me, $160 million plus just in roads and infrastructure, because she said that's what the people in Dallas want.
Is that to repave things or what?
It's to repave, it's to fix potholes, and also some of like the substreets. Yeah. They recognize it's expensive, right? Infrastructure is one of those things where I think most cities know it needs to happen, but it's not as cheap as a can of paint. You know what I'm saying? All so right. It's something that requires investment. So she said, hey, an additional $25 million is going toward the roads, hopefully.
Wow.
So the residents and visitors will see it.
I am looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to things actually getting fixed. You know what else, though? If I could just put in a little request, if anyone at the city is listening.
Okay.
I'm the complainer. Here we go.
No. This is a request.
Yeah. We're ready.
So just a request.
Yeah, please.
A preamble to the request. Dallas has a fetish with traffic cones. We will shut down a lane just to shut it down. I'm not kidding you. Look at what's happening. Like, look at where you see cones and construction barriers, and you drive by it day after day after day after day, and there's nothing happening there. And it looks like, in some cases, the work might already even be done, and it just still stays closed. So, yes, let's put up the cones. Let's fix it. Let's remove the cones.
Evidently, there's some cones on Wheeler's way home.
Like the whole way home, there's lanes shut down.
She's not in charge of the freeways, though.
There we go.
This is not the freeways.
This is side streets.
Hey, so you mentioned the city survey. Let me ask you guys about surveys. I get them every so often. Someone will text and say, you know, this is so-and-so from, you know, this data company. We're doing a survey. Do y'all ever respond to those?
No.
I do.
I delete them.
Yes.
I never respond to them. Like, is this someone trying to trick me or what is this?
Yeah,
so
it's a trick.
Here's what's funny about that. She brought that up. Right now, they are having listening sessions all throughout the city of Dallas, every single district, to get feedback on the proposed budget. And they said it is the hardest thing in the world to get people to give their feedback and to show up. So this is my fervent plea. If you live in the city of Dallas, it's like voting, right? You can't complain if you didn't share your thoughts and opinions. She really wants to, in our conversation, she wants the budget to reflect the priorities of the people in the city.
Well, she should come on this podcast, then, if she wants to hear the priorities.
Yes.
Traffic cones. Traffic cones, number
cones
one.
Cones are now.
Number one.
Cones.
Are we going to listen to some a clip of you talking to her about infrastructure?
Yes, we can.
So, yeah, tell us. Give us.
Because we're nerds on this podcast.
Yeah,
infrastructure is something that interests us.
This is what we're going to be talking about the most here. Cones
listen,
and
it
potholes.
Interests a lot of other people, too, because it was number one.
Well, here's what she had to say.
The number one area that our residents said go focus and improve in this was really around street infrastructure and improvement. Okay? Police services came after that. But the one area that was, I would say, that was in the top three in the number one position was really about how we continue to maintain our infrastructure. So what this budget shows is that we're now upping that investment. We're going to up it by $25 million additional dollars. So we're going to put about $162 million just in the roads and how we can continue to improve, you know, the visible appearance. People complain about the condition of our roads often. And I used to have this little joke. I'd drive around the city. I was like, I wonder who's the city manager, because the potholes are big. But now that's my challenge. But I do believe that it's back to the listening. Mm-hmm. It's back to understanding the priorities of our city council, understanding the priorities of our residents, putting that together, and then not sacrificing on how we deliver those core services.
All right, so check that off the list. We got infrastructure. Now
those cones will be gone by 5 o'clock. We don't worry about it. Your drive home will be safe.
I don't believe any of that, but we'll see.
We'll make a lane for you.
So let's talk about Mavs now, because you know
the Dallas Mavs.
Yeah, Dallas Mavs. Everybody knows who the Mavs are. So they, you know, traded Luka. But,
get over it.
You know,
we're moving on.
What did she say about the trade?
Yeah.
Did she give you any insight about the trade?
No. And you know what? I may be the only person in Dallas that's like, I wish Luka well. Let's move it on.
Let me pause for a second here. So Wheeler got an assignment last
year. That's what it was. That's probably what it is.
Wheeler got an assignment last year. He went to Slovenia.
I fell in love with the place.
And you were running around shirtless.
Did you see this live shot?
Yes.
So first he's wearing the shirt. It's like super tight on. He's like,
It's yeah, it's an extra small. It's only one they had.
But I can't help that the shirt clings to me.
No, but here's the funniest part of this live shot. He's doing a live shot in Slovenia with Chris and Cynthia, I think. And he says, okay, yeah, so we're here in Ljubljana.
That's good.
And let me give you your bearings in case, you know,
in case you're ever going to come out this way.
I'm like, are you kidding me, bro?
A lot of people have been there.
How many people in Dallas besides?
I had just run into people who were from here.
So he's like, here's the old bridge. Right here is where this happened.
The Dragon Bridge.
Like, come on.
Well, just be grateful you didn't see the shirtless.
Oh, he saw it. Oh, please. He played that back about 20 times.
We played that back.
He had that on loop.
What was the shirtless one?
He had that on loop because he was like, that's what those shirts are clinging to. Wow. I need to hit the gym.
This is not that podcast.
Wheeler thinks he is jacked. It's a whole thing.
You know, listen, let me tell you something. It is not just me. Dia's mother.
She thinks you're jacked too?
Yes.
That's not what Anita said. What she said was.
What did Anita Wall say? Making her cameo here.
Oh, my
here.
Gosh. She's going to kill me. Okay, so we're doing the show. Jason, I forget, he was doing a money piece.
Yeah.
Right on the money.
Imagine that. Right.
And homeboy had on one of them fitted shirts, one of them smediums.
Yeah.
And my mom goes, oh, I didn't know Wheeler was doing all that. I said, Mom, I got to work with the man.
You know what?
He was so happy.
Listen, I will take any and all compliments, you know, even when they're not really compliments.
A few years ago, it's probably been 10 years now, he volunteered for this thing over at Baylor.
I did.
And they were doing like blood pressure checks. And it's a live shot at 4 o'clock. And he said, no, I'll get in the bed. That's okay. No,
it was an echocardiogram.
I'll take my shirt off.
No, so. It was a stress test.
And
this was about heart
for?
Health. I was trying to inform the public.
It's amazing
about
he's still
heart
here.
Health.
But I know you well enough to know.
He's laying there in this on this gurney, all strapped up, and he's like bowed up the whole time like this.
They make you take your shirt off for the test.
Nobody has to make you take your shirt off.
I know.
B, I can't help that it came off as bowed up.
We'll have to post this on Yolitik's Instagram. I'll give you the screen grab.
We got to find it. We're in trouble. We're talking about the Mavs.
All right.
Okay.
Take a swig here.
All right.
Let's come back to the Mavs. So the Mavs want a new arena.
Yes.
Which is, you know what? It's crazy to me. I'm gonna stake out a position on this. These arenas, the old Ranger Stadium, is not that bad. Nothing's wrong with this thing.
It still has life.
After 25, it doesn't have
except
a roof
it doesn't
on
have air conditioning.
Right, but after 25 years, it's time to scrape these things. That's crazy to me. But
yep.
She has to manage this. The people who own the Mavs now want a new arena.
And we keep on hearing Irving because that's where we heard like, oh, you know what? The owners of the Mavs, who are from Las Vegas, bought some property in Irving. They want, you know, casinos and that sort of thing here in Texas. I think a lot of people would be happy just to not see them go to Vegas. Maybe they go
They're
to Irving.
To Vegas.
But I know that the city manager doesn't want them going to Irving either.
So two things. One, yes, it is time.
For a new arena?
Yes.
What's wrong with that one?
Fundamentally, there's a new era. It is a new day, Jason Whiteley.
Are you on the payroll is. Over there? What?
No, I am not on the payroll. I'm
is,
a believer
though.
In amenities, my man. I like to go to the game.
What do you want that they don't have there at the American Airlines
so
Center?
So, fundamentally, you want to have space for it to be an experiential place. So, the new wave... And this ain't, it sort of got something to do with the Mavs. But I say this to say, you need to have an arena that can be surrounded by other things. For example, a hotel that's right there, a sports book that's built in.
That's Victory Park. There's the W Hotel across the street.
The W's across the street. That's fine. Where are you going to put a sports book? Where are you going to put,
that's
have you been
legal,
to Green
though.
Bay?
That's not legal, though.
It will be. I'm holding out hope. All right. But I'm just saying, if you've been to Green Bay and you've seen Tidal Town, it's a 24/7, 365 space. Mm. You can't do that at Victory Park. So I think the new era, part of the reason is, yes, they want a new arena.
Yeah.
The AAC is lovely.
Where will it go, though? That's the big
question.
Okay,
so back to the interview. When it comes to Kim, the thing that we talked about, she said there's already been conversation underway. We've confirmed that there was basically an RFP put out. The city hired a firm
request
to go out.
For proposal, yeah.
They already went out. Thank you for keeping me honest on that. They already had somebody go do looking at sites, site selection, just propose, just to give the Mavs some options in conversation with the city. They could go a million different ways. But the thing that Kim Tolbert told us is that conversation is already underway. She wants to keep the Stars, the Mavs here. We know the Wings are coming back to Dallas. Their goal is to bring as much spending and sales tax revenue to the city as possible. Sports franchises really help that. So we got a statement from the Mavs as well on this, saying they do hope to come out with possible sites by the end of 2025, first quarter of 2026. But it was very funny because not only did she want to talk about the Mavs, she wanted to talk about another team too.
Go on.
Well, I thought we were going to roll the soundbite, fellas.
All right.
Ooh, listen, I absolutely love the Dallas Mavericks and the Dallas Stars. I need both of them to stay in Dallas. They are brands that truly demonstrate all that Dallas has to offer. We're having great discussions. We are working alongside of great leaders in both of those organizations who truly understand, you know, Dallas is home. We want them to be at home. We want them to continue to be at home. And so we're actively taking care of that business. And hopefully very soon we'll be able to talk more about that publicly. But I do believe that we're headed in the right direction. I think the commitments are there, and we want to make sure that we deliver on those commitments.
So, Wheeler, you know what all this is going to mean?
More traffic cones.
I know. Cones, exactly.
Got to build an arena. Got to shut down all the roads.
Well, you know, one of the biggest sites, I did an interview with Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins 4 or 5 years ago, and we were standing in his new office, and we were looking out towards the county jail.
Oh, yeah.
It's on some prime property.
It's on great property. There's an old state jail next to it. The criminal courthouse is in front of it, and then there's an old warehouse that's been scraped 25 years ago to the right of it. There's all this great property right there on the edge of the Trinity River. Mm-hmm. The problem with this is, the county judge said, we're all for, you know, selling this and turning it into something, but by state law, the county jail has to be within like 5 or 7 miles of the county seat. So they can't move the county jail to Ferris or, you know, far out in the corner somewhere.
So what do you do? Put it at Victory Park and build the stadium where the jail is?
You know better.
I know. They were talking about maybe moving the jail, farther out, out industrial, out Cesar Chavez way, maybe out at the end of that. But who knows what's going to happen with that?
Is she saying
what did she say though about potential sites?
I pressed. She wouldn't tell me.
She wouldn't.
I think you would be a fool if you didn't think that the jail was a viable option, only because the life of the jail is expiring within the next 10 years anyway. Mm. So
they want a new jail. The county wants a new jail.
Exactly. So this is an opportunity to have the best of both worlds. Mm. I think the fact that they've told us we're going to potentially know something within the next 6 to 9 months, 6 to 8 months, is a pretty good tell that they have a good short list. It's the city of Dallas. Mm. There's not a lot of real estate in places where you want to be. And with the expansion and renovation of the convention center, there's a new hotel coming to downtown, there are all these other investments, it's the perfect place to be. So I think it makes a lot of sense. We'll find out.
Did she say what's going to happen to the American Airlines Center?
No, but the Dallas Mavericks, I interviewed Rick Welts, gosh,
that's
in
another
February.
Big get that Dia got right off the bat.
She's scooping us hard, dude.
Follow up with him. But anyway, they were very vocal about the fact that they still want to continue to invest in the American Airlines Center. So I think if I was going to make a bold prediction here on the Yalitics podcast,
it
would be that the Dallas Stars will remain where they are. I think you're going to see the likelihood that potentially the Wings move into the AAC, not as a full replacement, but I think you may be more likely to see the Wings and the Stars share the AAC with a good investment from the Dallas Mavericks to get renovations and for the longevity. The Wings are going to get a practice facility. That's what the city of Dallas has committed to. Kimberly and I talked about that. And then the Dallas Mavs are going to move over to a spot where they have room to put a sports book when the Texas legislature finally agrees to play ball, where they're going to have all of the amenities they want. They're going to have pavilions, places for live music. I mean, you need that for a modern-day stadium.
That's an interesting idea, though, because, you know, the Wings, I mean, WNBA is having its moment now. It's finally, it has come to fruition, you know. And, they're selling places, they're selling the place out.
Yes.
And so I could see that.
And they've already played games at the AAC, and it's gone extremely well. Ticket sales have been strong. They've sold out their season tickets for the last 2-3 seasons.
Oh, wow.
So I think that could be an option.
I thought the Stars wanted a new home, though.
I think there will be an arena. I don't think the AAC will go away.
Yeah.
I think that the big...
I can't imagine it would, though.
No. But I think the big push is going to be to renovate it so that it's not going to turn into blight or an empty space. I think that has to be part and parcel for the deal. I don't know if they are going to be ready for the Wings to take over fully in 5 to 10 years. And again, there was conversation about them getting their own arena and renovations at the convention center. But if we know the Mavs are moving out, why not move the ladies on in?
Why not move somebody in?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But if that comes true, I just won't, you know.
Yeah.
We'll give you the credit for that.
We'll say it happened here first.
We'll come back to you on that one.
So can we go back and kind of loop back a little bit here to some of the more nerdy, sticky stuff that happens there at City Hall? I know you like this stuff. We got these propositions. And, you know, regardless of where you're listening or watching in Texas, this could be coming to a community near you as well.
Correct.
So we had these big propositions that came through the last time around, and they were on the ballot. And it was proposition, I think it was ST and U.
T failed.
Yeah, I think that's
okay,
right.
Yeah, because the opposition to it called it the propositions STUPID. They called it the stupid propositions.
Yeah.
But two of these made it through, and enough people felt like they weren't stupid that these needed to happen.
Yeah.
And what it did was it basically obligated the city to devote this huge portion of budget to public safety. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, you start going, well, we're either going to have to raise taxes, which we're limited in being able to do, or we're going to have to make some cuts.
So there are a couple of things at play. You had legislation come out of the session that basically caps how much cities can raise, right, the property tax.
Sure.
Okay. At the same time, what Proposition U does is it requires the city to spend a certain amount on police. Public safety, but basically is police, mm-hmm. right? So essentially, the big headline when we were reporting on this before it was voted in was it would require the city of Dallas to hire 900 more officers, which is wild. DPD has considered itself fully staffed for a while, close to it, right? Doing well. Crime is low, and not low, but improved in the city, right? And I guess I would say low. And so the challenge, though, when I talked to Kim Tolbert about this, her argument or retort really was about what the city had already committed to before the propositions were passed. Hmm. So I think the propositions during the election cycle were framed as this is an investment in public safety. Y'all, I hate to break it to you. If you are new here, the proposed $5.2 billion budget, more than 2/3 of it is for police.
Wow, that's huge.
Pause. So you're closing libraries, right? Parks don't get all the investment probably that folks who have them in their community want to see. You also, I mean, there's just a million other things.
Well,
the
see,
roads.
And that's the sub headline, because as you mentioned, the headline when this was out there was we need to invest in public safety. We need all these new officers. And that sounds popular to people and they go, yeah, we need to do that. What you don't see is that sub headline that was hidden at the time that says, by the way, the city has limited ability to raise your taxes, and so they're going to have to start making cuts to a lot of things, possibly including
that's what the opponents
road
said.
Improvements or whatever.
Yes.
The opponents were flagging that the entire time.
I just don't think they got that message out.
Clearly
there.
Not. They lost, yeah.
I mean,
on two of them.
But more than 2/3 of a $5.2 billion budget is for police alone.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let y'all do the math on that. And when I talk to the city manager, the other piece that people don't consider, there's also the pension fund. There's a lot of money going into the police pension separate and apart from that. So I don't think people fully, I think Kimberly talked about, you know, already having a demonstrated commitment to public safety, to police, to the fire department, wanting Dallas to be safe.
So she said, we're already doing this.
They were already doing it before the vote passed. They had already exceeded what these propositions would require. But I think moving down the road, one of the little Easter eggs in this thing, in those propositions, police funding can't go down.
Right.
So even if city revenues drop, you still got to be up here. So what happens when the funding or the piece of the pie for public safety goes from 2/3 to 3/4?
Or sales tax revenue takes a huge hit it did in COVID.
Which is one of the most unpredictable parts of running a city budget.
And again, something the opponents predicted, you know, could happen here too. Mm-hmm. So when you were talking to her about this new budget, the $5.2 billion, mm-hmm. you pressed her on 282 positions are being eliminated, but they're hiring 277 positions at DPD.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an interesting little exchange here you had with her. Listen to this.
The budget you presented to council eliminates 282 positions, adds 277, most of them under the police department,
yes.
right? You know the question that's coming.
Yes.
Who's going to lose their job?
Yes, yes. Well, let me frame it this way, because I think in a city of our size, in an organization of our size, as we continue to reimagine services, which is kind of the journey that we've been on for this last year, you really have to get to what problems are we solving for, the resources that we have to solve those problems, and how do we position ourselves to where the priorities that we know that our residents have asked us to focus on, we're demonstrating that and they see it. And it has to show up in the budget. There's no other way to do it. And so I think about it not as an elimination. I think about it as how do we optimize our service delivery in such a way that our staffing model is reflective of that. And so as we continue to find those natural efficiencies across every single city department, I think that's why we're able to repurpose positions in such a way that in the areas of our city or the departments where they're needed the most, it's not about adding new positions to the budget. I think in the past, adding positions did not necessarily solve problems. And we're trying to solve and address some of those unique challenges that we have. And so we do believe that even with some of those positions that are impacted in the budget, that there will be opportunities to move into some of those areas where we know vacancies still exist. Having the additional capacity in the police department, our residents have asked us to do that. And so it's really about us being responsive to what we know has been requested of us. We also needed additional capacity in our code compliance department to deal with some unique issues that are happening out across the city around nighttime entertainment. And so we have taken the opportunity to look at those staffing models. That's what you should expect for us to do. And how do we now reposition and repurpose those positions to where they're clearly able to be utilized?
All right, so Dia, I gave you one question to go in there with.
You did.
And you asked this question.
Property taxes.
He rails about this all the time.
Property taxes are
insane in this state.
There's no state tax.
Right. There's got to be some way, though, to relieve the pressure on property owners.
Well, they do. And then you go, okay, well, that was a little bit of relief. And then the next year you're like, wait, we're kind of almost back to where we were. Like that relief didn't last very long.
So, well, how does city supposed to get these potholes filled? Okay, I'm going to leave y'all
alone. I'm with you on that. I completely understand that too. But the city has once again lowered the effective tax rate in Dallas, like a lot of cities have.
Yep.
But then the big question is, okay, but do rising valuations still mean that I'm paying more?
Right.
So you'll see a little bit of a decrease. They don't control the property valuations. That's the challenge, right? That comes from the county. So that's the struggle.
Yeah, I think Central Appraisal District is going to go out and do that work on their own.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And property values are up everywhere.
Right.
I think the reason why the city of Dallas, Kim Tolbert told us 10 straight years, they've been able to drop the property tax rate down. Yes, your valuations are going to continue to go up. But I will say this, I think her goal was, here's what was interesting about our conversation. I was so floored. I did not send my questions in advance. I'm a journalist. We don't do that. I just sent general topics. But how quickly she was able to give me like really, really close estimates on, well, we got $11 billion from new construction coming. I'm like, wait. So their hope is that there's going to be continued investment and development on the business side. You're going to have more corporate relocations here, which helps increase revenue. So you may not see, she said it might be a little bitty drop for some folks.
That was funny.
But the hope is that as more people come here, as more people relocate here, one of their big goals is to get more people to live in the city of Dallas, spend money in the city of Dallas. Then maybe those decreases can be a little bigger. So then maybe you could feel a little bit more.
I like your
complain a little bit less.
Believe me, I'm with you all the time. You rubbed off on me here. But I like how you set the question up for her. You said today's prices.
Not yesterday's prices.
Here's the clip.
The budget you presented.
Yes.
It lowers the tax rate.
Yeah.
But we know yesterday's price is never today's price,
right? That's
so prices continue to go up.
That's right.
Will taxpayers, homeowners see a decrease in that tax bill?
They'll see a decrease. Last year's decrease is a bigger one. But we also understood that as we balance the budget, and because of the way the Senate Bill 2 was designed, we had to be under a certain cap on our reappraised value. And so we're actually under that cap. We're at, the cap is 3.5%. We're at 3.4%. So really, there was not an automatic reduction in the property tax that we had to take. But we still provided that because we believe that it's important to continue to provide that relief for our homeowners. This council has been successful 10 consecutive years. We have been able to bring that tax rate down. It might be, you know, more of a minimal decrease, but it is a way for us to continue to show that we're listening. And we want to do everything that we can as we continue to work on the ways we deliver services. We want to do it in a way that when we can provide that relief, that we absolutely make that a part of what we include in our budget year over year.
How do you have a budget that's more expensive and still cut property taxes for residents here in Dallas? Kind of help us understand the math a little bit.
Absolutely. So it's really based on a couple of equations. You look at your total new construction. So if you look at the budget, the growth is about $11 billion from appraised value growth. And of that, about 1.9% was from the new construction, which is about $4 billion. And then the rest of that was from the reappraised value. So those valuations continue to pump additional resources into the city, which is a good thing.
Dia, great interview with City Manager Kimberly Tolbert here in Dallas. Again, no one gets these. We don't know what you do. Well, I know what you do. You just be you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next time, I want to have Anita on with us here.
Yes,
too.
I do too.
Oh,
Anita,
my gosh.
Have her on here with us.
I love Anita.
Yeah, I cannot
she loves
wait.
You, really.
I cannot yes. wait to tell her. She's going to be so mad at me. But I will tell you, this is a highlight. The interview was fine, but this has been a blast.
Aw, thank you.
You guys are really the best.
I can't believe it's taken us this long to have you on.
I've been, you know, pitching you forever, and Wheeler's like, I don't know, maybe we should
do something else. Don't you start.
Cheers. Thanks
Cheers.
For doing this with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Still some Prosecco left. Thank you so much.
She's pacing herself.
I'm almost done. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week.
Y'all forgot. Thank you to Four Corners Brewing. We had a lovely time. I'm here one time, and I got to keep these fellas honest. So thank you, Four Corners. We really appreciate you.
This podcast
Cheers
is going to be her podcast in a matter of weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe next episode.